Okay, so we are this week going to be in 1 Peter. If you've been reading along in the One Year Bible, you've read this. But I just want to give a little background before we get in there and tell you really where I want to go. I want to hit on this reality that we are stewards of God's grace. So I had to look up steward. Just because, you know, everybody thinks they knows what. No, God. Everybody thinks they knows what things mean. Everybody thinks they know what it means, but literally a steward is one appointed to supervise the provision and distribution of food or drink in an institution. Or it could be like in a big house, the steward was the one who made sure that everybody that came to the party or came to the dinner felt not only welcome, but like things were put together and it was right because they were a conduit for the person who they were stewarding for. It wasn't about them. They weren't the ones that were going to get praised at the end of the night. It was all elevating the one that they came for. And I thought about, like, how do I communicate this? And this is going to be, like, to some, this is going to feel like good example. To others, you'd be like, you mentioned that name. You're in church. Just depends on how you feel. I don't know. Anybody been to Disney World? You weren't sure where I was going with that. That's all right. I like to build a little tension in you. But do you know that Disney World literally is filled with people that are playing a role? I mean, that's their job. Their whole job, if it's done correctly, is that you get the magical experience of Disneyland. You don't even feel like it's a theme park. You feel like all these people are participating in this greater thing, this dream that Walt Disney had. And when they play their part, you leave the park with just this desire to come back. I mean, because I'm talking about from the person collecting the garbage to the one that's serving your food to the character that's literally playing a Disney character, they're all doing their part to make sure that your time there was a witness to the greater call of what the park is. And I know this is a huge leap, and some of you are like, how do you talk about the magical kingdom with the kingdom of heaven? Well, very easily. Because they do a good job of communicating the greater purpose of what they're there for. We, on the other hand, are also called to play our role, to be a conduit, a steward of the grace of God. Do you understand that we, us sitting in this room, may be the only conduit steward of the grace of God that some people may experience? I know that's weighty. But when you play your part, just like Disney World, just like the character, like that one character isn't sheltering the weight of making sure that their experience was awesome, but they played their role. They played their part. See, we are the way, the physical way, that people see the grace of God. We are the way that people get to see God in the flesh. I know you're not becoming God, but you are instruments of the grace of God. And so what I'd like to do this morning, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be a little bit all over 1 Peter, but we're going to land in 1 Peter 4, 6 through 11. It's going to be on the screen behind us. But let me build this a little bit. Peter was this guy named Simon who was doing his thing, living his life, doing his family business, fishing. God calls him into his ministry out of seminary, no, out of the boat, literally, calls him into this kingdom adventure. And you know, if you've been here for a while, that I love Peter. Peter is a conduit of grace even to us because we realize that if God can use Peter, who did lots of dumb things, he pulled out a sword and cut off somebody's ear. Like, I'll protect you, God, get back. Like, an ear? That's all you could get? I mean, like, Peter was told by Jesus, the one that he had declared as the Christ, that you will betray me three times. And he said, oh, no, I won't. And in less than 24 hours, three times, he denied even knowing Christ. And God restored this mighty man of God and set him in a role to champion the stewards of grace. And so this is written most likely decades after Christ has risen and went into the heavens, as the church is, you know, probably 30 to 40 years old at this time. Peter's an old man, and he is writing a letter that's going to be circulated over what is now known as Turkey, to a people that are being persecuted, to a people that are being worn down in places that they're not welcome because of what they believe. They were under pressure to be, and it was written mostly to Gentiles, which is important for the first part of what I want to share with you today. It was written to people that had come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and were walking in the grace and measure of that in foreign lands where they were not welcome. Like, he has got some things in here, like how we deal with and how we become the conduits of grace, that are hard to swallow, but we'll get there. Let me start with this. So realize this is written to a people that weren't of God. They weren't the chosen ones, meaning the children of God. They weren't Jewish by lineage. They were people outside of the grace of God until Jesus Christ died for their sins. And he is writing this letter to them, but he speaks in Old Testament language, which is awesome because he shelters this people that weren't in but are now in into the language of covenant and being part of his kingdom and even calling them priest. So look at this. This is, and we really need to get here. So if we're going to get to the conduit of grace, because sometimes it's like everybody in this room, if you are a follower of Jesus, know and understand that you are required and called to serve and love others, period. But sometimes the reality, the knowledge of that is a lot harder than just saying it. It's easy to quote the verses. It's easy to have the information. It's hard to serve. So let me just build a foundation, because here's what Peter is laying this foundation of who you are, because if the who you are matches the who God says you are, then the things he's going to call you to, which are difficult, will be manageable. Not easy. But here's the first one. He calls them a covenant people. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Like, they have come into the family. They are no longer this perishable thing, but they're imperishable. He also calls them in 1 Peter 2:5, the new temple. Temple was a big thing, like where they went and served and witnessed and prayed to and sacrificed to their God. And here Peter is calling them. In verse 5, he says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That he's literally making his temple out of the living stones that are his children. And then he goes on, which he said a little bit there, but in verse 9, he calls us a kingdom of priests. Some of you are like, I ain't no priest. You are. You're a child of God. This is what he calls us. And in verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen race. Remember, he's speaking to Gentiles, which they were not the chosen race, but he's telling them, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Like, there isn't anything better than this. But he's building to this. And after verse 9, he goes into really how we, them specifically, suffer for the king correctly. I mean, because they're in a foreign land. And I know if you've been with us for a while, we went through Daniel and we understand that we are minorities living in exile. That we aren't in a Christian nation. Are not. We aren't even in a Christian state. We're exiles called to live as Christ had called us. And he deals with lots of things. How we respond to suffering. Submitting to Roman rule was one of their ways of showing and being a conduit of grace. And Rome was completely against, at this point, Christianity. And he's calling his people to submit to them and show the grace of God by how they serve them. Also calls, it talks about like what do wives do that have experienced the grace of God and might be married to a Roman man who is worshiping a foreign God. And you know, he didn't say rebel, he said serve and love, that the grace of God would be seen by your action. It says the same thing about husbands. You know, they didn't rule with an iron fist. He's saying, by the grace of God, you will show who Jesus is by how you suffer. Think about it this way, and this is kind of the at the end of that, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. It's finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. See, being a conduit of grace isn't just going, God has grace for you. It is literally allowing yourself to take the low road, which is not the American way. The American way is my way. Like, don't speak that way. I mean, this is completely different. How we treat other people, even those who don't deserve it. And Daniel is a great example of that, of that he served. He still respectfully honored the king, even when he was going to kill him, when he didn't obey certain things. And so now we get to kind of the meat where I want to land on, and we're going to jump off from there and see what God wants us to do with this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6, and going through 11. It says, for this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. So he's saying the world wants to see you through the lens of your flesh. The world wants to tell you who you are and what you're going to do based on your history, based on your past, based on where you're at right now. It wants to declare you are and give you a title. Some of those titles aren't nice. They aren't uplifting. It wants to declare who you are. And it's saying, look, regardless in the way that they are judged, he's saying, live by the Spirit the way God does. See, the way that we experience and become a conduit of grace is not, and here's the key, It is not muscling through our flesh and making it submit to us. You ever tried it? It doesn't work really good. Ever get somebody, like, you just get angry? You can see it come over you and be like, I'm going to be this. And that usually makes you more angry because you're trying not to be angry. Instead of God is saying, hey, 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 you couldn't do it before. You're not going to do it now. But if you'll trust me, and just take a breather for a minute. Remember when Daniel, like they were caught off guard, didn't know what to do. They were going to get killed. And what did they do? They didn't go, well, we're going to figure this out. Let's get together. Let's put our heads together. We're going to figure it out. They went and prayed and sought the Lord, and God gave them grace. In verse 7, it says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. And above all, keep on loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to the one another without grumbling. As each have received a gift, use it to serve one another as the stewards of God's varied grace. Look, this is the testing ground. December, whether you know it or not, is a hard month. Because your routine gets broken. You travel and you stay usually in other people's homes. If you've got small kids and you live in other people's homes for a short period of time, it's not that great. It's stressful. It brings out other sides of you. And here I believe God wants to prepare you for this season. Because whether you know it or not, this is the season that people are willing to at least partake in the grace of God. Because December seems a little holy for those that are outside of the church. They'll be a little bit more gracious. Maybe not some of these department stores that have taken away Christmas and call it holiday. You know, whatever about that. That's all right, because we don't live in a Christian. These aren't Christian companies. Some of them take a stand and they decide what they're going to do, but we cannot fault them for that, but we can take advantage of this season. We can take advantage of this season that people are just a little bit more willing to hear and experience the grace of God through the stewards of God's grace, which is you. And look what he's saying. He said, keep on loving one another earnestly, which is work. I don't know about you, but if you've been married for more than a minute, it is work to love someone. Amen? Come on. Yeah, guys. You know, it's okay. We're in a safe place. It is work. And actually, the best marriages have people that work the hardest at it. Because you want to see a marriage that isn't doing well, you will see a people that aren't trying to love the other. They aren't earnestly trying to love the other. Like, it takes commitment. And he's saying here during this season, because there's going to be opportunities. There's going to be a neighbor that is going to put their little blow up, whatever, a little bit on your property. And you're going to be tempted to accidentally knife it at night. Maybe not. But you're going to be tempted. I mean, there's going to be things that are going to happen. There's going to be parties and people are going to park on your grass. You can be an instrument of judgment. Forget the grace. I've worked all year on this grass. But he's saying love one another. Like, God is going to give you opportunities in the month to come to love people. And I'm going to tell you that where you need to prepare and where you need to store up and really sit before the Lord is loving those that are the closest to you. See, you're going to come in contact with, most likely this month, with people that you may only see one time a year. And part of that's your doing. And imagine the reality that we get. I mean, here is Peter speaking to a church that is literally being persecuted and killed for their belief. And he's saying, hey, let's flip this upside down. Like, we aren't starting a rebellion to, like, overtake. We're starting a rebellion of love. And we're going to love and serve people earnestly because I'm telling you, this next line, since love covers a multitude of sin, earnest love, not fake love. Earnest love covers a, I'm telling you, even if it's you're doing, this is a season that you have an opportunity to speak the grace of God to someone that maybe knows that you don't like them. That you get there at that one night party where all the family's together and y'all intentionally stay on opposite sides of the room. What if you would just prepare yourself for this? Like, don't go, like, don't shoot from the hip. Like, don't be like, okay, tonight's the night. You know, that's dangerous. Prepare your soul to go in and see. Because another thing that you see in 1 Peter is that we're not fighting the person. Like, there's a greater darkness behind what's going on. Like, if they're hurting and being mean because of that, there's something bigger. It's not them. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the principalities, these things going on. And I love this. It says, do it without, show hospitality without grumbling. And that doesn't just mean to them. That means to your family and your kids before they come or after. Okay. Anyway, Verse 10, it says, as each has received gift, use it to serve one another. Here's the other danger. Here's what's wrong, in my opinion, with the church today, including this one, is that God has given each one of his children a gift that was given to them for the greater good of the church. And see, he's saying each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. What if we use this gift? And okay, let me just disclaimer. I'm not saying that God gave you the gift of children's ministry and you're sinning not using it. Though if you feel that, Erica's right there in the back. She'd love to talk to you at the end of service. You know, this isn't a guilt like, well, yes, I should help with setup or, you know, I've got a talent that I'm not talking about that. I mean, this is part of what he's talking about, but we miss out on some of that like church stuff. Instead of going, God has given me a gift. Some of you are handy and some of you aren't. That's not a judgment. Some of you handy people, God has given you a gift that you can use to benefit other people. Like, there's so much that God has poured in us that we selfishly keep to ourselves. See, we want to be stewards of God's various grace, and that happens by our actions. And I love last week when we talked about James, we need to be doers of the word. Like, God didn't give us this great book so that we could preach it and beat people over the head with it. He gave us this word so that it would change us, so that we would be conduits of his grace. And look at this. In verse 11, it says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. And I know we don't like talk that way, oracles. Like, I would like to give an oracle, brother. Can I? Oracles, like, literally speaking the voice of God. So when we speak, we're speaking the voice of God. Like, how powerful our words are. Like, during this season, less might be better. Because our words, like, I mean, imagine it this way. If we're a child of God, if we're children of God, called to his purpose, the words that we speak are the voice of God to people. The grace that they experience. So literally, the Bible says that our tongue have the power of life and death. With one, we bless things, and with other, we curse. And we need to decide that when we speak, we're going to speak the voice of God. And it says, whoever serves is one who serves with the strength that God supplies in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, I want to see God's kingdom move in this city. Like, I want to see his grace abound. And that needs to start outside of here. It needs to start when you're in the food line. It needs to start when you're at Walmart. It needs to start when, you know, you're, you know, getting those special deals. You know, maybe at the end, we're going to have prayer people. Maybe confession today would be like you ran over somebody to save $10 on a TV yesterday, Friday. What if we literally saw ourselves as the steward of God's grace? What would that look like? If we walked out of here and stopped thinking, well, I'm Heath, and I do this, and sometimes I'm a conduit of grace, but literally walked out of here and said, today and always, as a child of God, I am a conduit of grace. I am the hands and feet. See, this, and this is part of the issue. We look at letters like this, and we think this was written to the early church, and you know there are some implications. This is a letter that I believe, like the rest of the word, is written to you. Like when we look at these things, God isn't telling other people to do things. He's telling you to do things. So how do we change the way we act? I believe it changes first with the way we think. The Bible literally says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you've got issues with your words, you've got to start here. You've got to start with what God has given you. You've got to start with going, God has called me to these things. Instead of looking at it through the lens of like, I've got to check the box, I've got to read the word, but literally going, this is what God has called me to do. See, we have to change it. Because it won't change. Like, hearing this and you're like, yeah, I know. I'm a conduit. Really thin one right now. It's not much as getting through. I believe God wants to give grace to you this morning. That God wants to charge you up for this season. And it all begins with us going, God, I need you to change the way I think. See, there's things going on inside of us that if we don't stop them here, we cannot stop them outside of us. But if we start looking through the lens of, I mean, just in this, that we are new covenant people. That's a whole other sermon that I don't have time to get into, that God has made this unbreaking covenant with us. That he is building us into his temple. That he is calling you a royal priesthood. And if you want to look up identity scriptures, it goes on and on. He calls you righteous. He calls you adopted sons and daughters. He has called you into his kingdom. But that kingdom, that call was never just to save you. God's call for you is always for what he's trying to expand in his kingdom. He wants you, but he wants also what you have to offer others. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up front. And what I want to do as we close and as we sing one more song, as we allow God to do in us, I just ask that instead of just going right into singing a song and, you know, letting the words distract you so you can get closer to moving out of the door, really just go, God, what do you want from me this season? And maybe God has to resettle some things in you. Maybe the issue that you're not a good steward of God's grace, a good conduit of God's grace, is because you don't believe that his grace is good enough for you. That you're still trying to perfect yourself so that he would love and accept you instead of right now understanding that you don't have the capacity to. And he knew that. And he sent his son here to
to do what you couldn't do. The next 4 weeks of church is really going to be focusing on this reality that we have a Savior that put on flesh, that right now is sitting beside the Father and understands you better than you understand yourself, because not only did he create you, but he experienced what you experienced. And maybe before we get into worship, maybe just go, God, I'm missing something. I need to experience your grace so that I can give your grace. And so what I'd like to do is I'm going to pray for us, and I just encourage you to not just let your brain start ticking away at what needs to change, but just go, God, change will never happen outside of the grace that you give. These songs that we sang this morning, if you listen to them, if you hear the words of what he's done for us. See, when you realize the gift that God's given you, it is so easy to transfer that gift to someone else. It's so easy to give a piece of what God, this huge thing that God has given us, out. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you this morning that you know us, and you still call us. And Lord, as we resettle ourselves, as we check on the state of our soul, as we maybe even this morning just go, God, I've been doing it myself. I've been living on my own strength, and I need you because I'm messing it up. And so, Lord, I just pray that your grace would abound for those that feel like a wreck. They feel like, here I am again in desperate need of you. And Lord, I just pray that the reality for every one of us would just sit on us. This reality that we are always a wreck. We're always desperately in need of you. And you always, always come to our rescue. And so, Lord, if there's anybody in this room that has never made that commitment to you, Lord, I pray that today would be a homecoming to the reality of the grace and mercy that you pour out on your children who only believe you. That they recognize their need and they realize what you have done by coming, walking on this earth and willingly going to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, so that right now, sitting in these chairs, that we can be righteous sons and daughter of the King. So let us live like that's true. So Lord, we praise you this morning that your grace would abound, that your mercy would be new right now. Lord, we just thank you that you know us and love us. So let us hear you this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.